Hi, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. This week, I'm revisiting a topic I teased back in May: diet culture in the wedding industry. I can't believe it's been months since I last talked about it, but I figured with my own wedding less than a month away, this was a good time to air this second part. If you missed the first part, check out episode 43, The Roots of Diet Culture and Its Sneaky Forms. Today, we're going to talk about how diet culture shows up in the wedding industry and what we can do about it, whether we are the bride or groom, part of the bridal party, a guest, a vendor, or the dietitian working with someone who's been impacted by an upcoming wedding. Part of me is like, no, why did I promise you an episode on the wedding industry when the very last thing I want to talk about is wedding stuff? I'm up to my eyeballs in wedding nonsense, and if you talk to me for more than 5 seconds lately, I'll probably start telling you why weddings are stupid. And if you haven't gotten married yet, you should elope. Justin and I actually recently had a conversation just last night about how we need to stop saying that the wedding is stupid. Not because it isn't, because weddings in general are, and start like framing it in more like abundance and positivity, because we are still excited, right? Because as stupid as weddings are, they're also beautiful and exciting and wonderful. But oh my gosh, they are so nuts. And it's all because of this industry that has become a monster. Like, we talk about bridezillas, but all bridezillas are doing, like 90% of the time, are cracking under the pressure that this ridiculous monster of an industry places on the bride. It's not the brides that are monsters, it's the whole industry. Now, I don't think I'm going to wind up as like a bridezilla, whatever that really means. Like, I tend to be a pretty easygoing person with this stuff, but Justin is already prepared for like the tears and the breakdowns over the next few weeks, because no matter how hard you try to keep it low stress and laid back and all of that, it is so overwhelming. And that's going to mix with my nerves and my excitement. And like, I'm going to be a mess, guaranteed. And again, this isn't a me problem. I'm not weak or overly emotional or unable to handle high pressure things. This is a problem with the industry. And there is no way it hasn't impacted you in some way, even if you've never gotten married, and even if you never plan to get married. So today I want to talk about how diet culture impacts dietitians as a bride. And I'll try to touch on how it could impact them as grooms. Like, we can talk a little bit about diet culture and the wedding industry and grooms, but the wedding industry was built on preying on vulnerable brides, so it tends to hit hardest for them. And obviously, it's the one that I have the most experience with. I'll also be talking about how diet culture impacts dietitians as a member of the bridal party, as a guest, as a vendor, since some dietitians may also be involved in catering or favors or something like that. And lastly, as an actual dietitian working with humans who are getting married or attending weddings. And not only how it impacts these individuals or these roles, but what we can do as dietitians to challenge diet and beauty culture, also affectionately known as the love children of patriarchy and capitalism, by the way, and maybe create a wedding industry that is less of a soulless monster. So first, the bride. The bride often faces the brunt of it because the bride also assumes most of the responsibility, unless you're really wealthy, I guess, and you have someone who can plan it all for you, because like, really, that sounds lovely. And I highly recommend it to anyone who can afford it. I cannot. Now, we're told from an early age that like, this is the most important day of our lives. Think about that for a second. Think about the pedestal we put our wedding day on. We are supposed to look our best, feel our best, like be our best selves, because we're going to look back on this day for the rest of our lives. Holy moly, is that a lot of pressure for one stinking day? Like, and what gets me so much is that everyone I've spoken to who's gotten married has said, like, it goes by so fast, you'll barely remember it. It's like so quick. Why are we putting, like, how is the most important day of my life, something that I'm not even going to remember. Like, it's going to be gone in the blink of an eye, and I'm putting so much money and effort and stress into making it perfect. Now, I'm going to be 32 years old when I get married. Let's say that I'm lucky and Justin and I live long and happy lives and we're together for 50 years. So we're 82. That means that I have spent 11,680 days of my life leading up to my wedding day being told this is one of the most special and important days of my life. And I'm going to hopefully spend another 18,250 days of my life after my wedding day with Justin married. Don't talk to me about leap years either. We're not getting that technical. I'm sure my math is wrong. But one day out of almost 20,000 being married again, fate and fortune willing, one day out of like 30,000 being alive, one day. Your wedding is one day, and I have spent the past 365 days stressed out about it. And whenever I get upset about something, do you know what people tell me? It will all be worth it. No, actually, 365 days of stress and overwhelm and exhaustion is not worth one party on one day. Don't let anyone normalize the stress and overwhelm that wedding planning puts you through. It's like that 2 years of clinical BS that we hear as dietitians, like, oh, you just have to pay your dues to earn the right to have what you want. No, you do not have to suffer and be miserable for an entire year in order to have a beautiful day celebrating your union with your partner. But that's exactly the message that brides get. Suffer now because it will all pay off in the end. And I'm here to say I have not done the best job over the past year of kind of like bucking against that message. Plus, since brides are taught from a young age that this day is like this magical, most amazing, important, special day, they should go all out. You only get married once, they say. Although that's not true sometimes. And because everyone wants the day to be special, and the wedding industry itself has brainwashed us from age like 2 or 3 to be obsessed with this one minute day of our lives, it sets the stage for paying exorbitant amounts of money for what all boils down to a big party. You say the word wedding and vendor prices triple. And they can do it because we've put this one day up onto this ginormous pedestal and we're told that it will all be worth it and you only get this one day and you don't want to look back and regret not doing blank or not having blank, whatever it is. So here we are putting all this pressure on ourselves in this day to be absolutely perfect. And this is where the diet culture part sneaks in, because the bride is expected to look perfect too. Now, I will say that I live with significant thin privilege. And so I have been immune to a lot of the diet culture stress that many brides experience. Dress shopping was easy and enjoyable. I did recently have one person, a family friend who I don't really know much at all, who is asking me about my dress recently and whether I had gotten it altered yet. And I said no. I had just dropped it off at the tailor's that week, so they were working on it. And then she asked, like, oh, because you lost a lot of weight? And I just stared at her for a minute, like completely blindsided. And then I was able to say, no, I bought a dress that fits me. Now, she was struck by my comment and like could not fathom not wanting to, I guess, change my body or not having changed my body to fit my dress. Again, it's an indication of the privilege that I hold in this area. I acknowledge that. I know plenty of other brides who were pressured to buy a dress a size or two down because everyone assumes that they're going to try to lose weight to squeeze into a smaller size. I know other brides who have had to sign contracts with a bridal salon that they will not gain or lose more than a certain amount of weight after purchasing the dress, and that includes that they will not get pregnant in that time. I cannot imagine the stress of that. Again, I live with thin privilege, and my weight is very stable. or at least it seems to be. I don't weigh myself. And I still get a little uneasy about dress fittings. And that's largely because fitting into the dress is such a big topic of conversation for brides. So it's drilled into my head to be worried about it. And that stress and that pressure and that discrimination is going to be 1,000 times worse, more than 1,000 times worse for someone who doesn't have thin privilege or who doesn't have it to the degree that I do. And dress shopping, it's just the start. I went to my dentist after getting engaged, and the first thing they asked was when I was going to come in to get my teeth whitened for the wedding, which then made me self-conscious that my teeth aren't white enough, as though someone is actually going to come to my wedding and be like, man, Jess was almost a pretty bride, but her teeth were just not as white as her dress, and it really ruined the whole ceremony and day for me. Like, what? And also, like, why do I care so much about being a pretty bride? Why is that important? Why is it not more important for me to work on being a happy bride, a relaxed bride, an excited bride? Why is prettiness like the pinnacle of my existence as a bride? That's what this is, isn't it? We're taught, especially as women, that our looks define our worth, and that to feel confident, we have to look our best, which our best is often defined in a very narrow way, because we're told that no one wants to look back at pictures of themselves and see, I don't know, themselves. From teeth whitening to, like, my tailor wanted to put 2 cups in my dress. 2 cups, as in, like, 2 sewn-in bras on top of each other, because, hi, if you didn't know this about me, I have small boobs, and apparently I'm supposed to want to have a quote-unquote better shape than I naturally have for my wedding. And I had to tell her, no, I want to look and feel like myself. I've said the same thing to hair and makeup. Yeah, I want to look nice. Yeah, I'll wear more makeup that day than usual. But no, I don't want to be airbrushed and have this crazy fancy updo. I want to feel like myself. I want to look back at my pictures and recognize myself. And I wish that could be the norm. Again, I know the privilege I come to this with. Even on days where I don't feel pretty or attractive, I know that I have some degree of pretty privilege. And that's not an easy thing to admit in this culture. And even on days where I feel a little insecure about parts of my body, I know I have thin privilege. I know these things. And I know they make me immune to a lot of the BS that the wedding industry inflicts on brides, and I wish that weren't true. So if you're getting married or think you might in the future, please know this. You are a bride the moment you accept that proposal or make the proposal or get engaged. You don't have to do anything to make yourself more of a bride. You don't have to get airbrushed. You don't have to change your body. You don't have to wear some expensive dress or, like, quote unquote, get fit or worry about your complexion or be tan or whatever. I'm going to be my regular old pale, washed out self, like washed out in a white dress. And I don't care because I love my dress and I love Justin. And it's the photographer's problem to make sure I don't look like a ghost in the pictures. And I'm not wearing 2 cups in my dress. I mean, really. And I'm not getting my teeth whitened. This is what diet culture and the wedding industry and the beauty industry and patriarchy and capitalism do. They make us feel like we aren't inherently enough. And that pressure is perhaps never stronger than when you're a bride. None of this, by the way, is getting much better. Body positivity and, like, non-dieting and whatnot are trendy phrases, but I haven't seen much of an actual shift in the wedding industry culture. It's simply gotten sneakier, as I discussed in episode 43 of the podcast, The Roots of Diet Culture and Its Sneaky Forms. In that episode, I talked about how you can spot sneaky forms of diet culture, and it was inspired by an article I saw on The Knot, the wedding planning website I've been using, and it was titled, "Shedding for the Wedding is Destructive, According to Experts, and We Agree," with a subheadline of, "You Are Beautiful Just the Way You Are." Nice try, The Knot. That sounds catchy, but this is ultimately a sneaky, disconnected, like mismatch between their words and their actions. So you're going to see brands and companies start to say this, you're beautiful just the way you are. And then they're going to turn around and try to sell you a product to make you feel confident or strong or empowered, aka change yourself. And the nod is no different. It first should come as no surprise to you that 10 of the 13 quote-unquote leaders on the Knot's website, like the people who run it, are men. Also, 10 of the 13 are white. So if we think about the conversation of power and who holds it and how they use it, which is integral to conversations about diet culture and beauty culture, we've got a lot of privilege sitting around that decision-making table. And not a lot of people who truly understand what it's like to be consistently told that they aren't good enough as they are. Now, don't get me wrong. White men are for sure victims of diet culture and the beauty industry and all of this too. Victim is, it's not my favorite word, but they're subjected to it. And it's becoming more and more of the case. But they're still protected by that privilege that they hold to some degree, the same way that I can experience diet culture as a bride, can experience beauty culture and the beauty industry issues as a bride. But because I hold certain privileges, I'm buffered by it just that little bit. Second, if you click on their, like, quote unquote, health and wellness tag for blog articles on the Knot, if they truly agreed that shredding for the wedding is destructive and that we are all beautiful as we are, which, again, I don't know why we need to all be beautiful in the first place. Like, again, why is this beauty the pinnacle of our existence? But alas, if they really believe those things, then you would expect their health and wellness articles to mirror that. Instead, here are a selection of the headlines that pop up. Number one, the wellness and fitness rules all couples should follow in 2020, which talks about how some Lancet article said poor diet and exercise choices cause more deaths than smoking. Talk about fear-mongering around food. Another one was getting in shape for your wedding, but you know, you're beautiful just as you are, but get in shape. Another one was 8 backless dress wedding day workouts you can do at home, because I guess you can't wear a backless dress unless you like have the quote unquote right body for it. I don't know. And another one that I found was a wedding beauty timeline to help you feel confident. Again, this is that sneaky shift. It doesn't say a wedding beauty timeline to help you feel more beautiful. It uses confident, because they're shifting their language. Now, in that article, it says you don't have to lose weight and your partner loves you for who you are, dot, dot, dot. But all of that stress is probably making your complexion suck. So maybe work on that. But wait, don't feel ashamed if you have a pimple and like, oh my God, is the linguistic whiplash of these articles and like the messages that they're sending getting to you yet? These are all red flags that the Knot and others all across the wedding industry do not actually care about dismantling diet and beauty culture, because they are diet and beauty culture. You cannot say you're beautiful as you are, or don't stress about what you look like on your wedding day, and then turn around and post article after article about getting in shape, quote unquote, and fear-mongering about pimples. Like, if I have a pimple on my wedding day, whatever. The only way that could make my experience of my wedding day worse is if I have people and businesses like the Knot telling me that I should do something to avoid it. And I know I'm really ripping into the Knot on this one, so we're clear. The Knot isn't like the bad guy. The Knot is a product of its environment. This is a problem with patriarchy and capitalism. This is a problem with beauty culture and the fact that women's worth is completely tied up in our appearance. This is so much bigger than the Knot. I'm simply using the Knot to illustrate my point. So if you're from the Knot, this isn't an attack. It's an invitation. Do better. I'm not falling for your misogyny and diet garbage masquerading as like confidence and empowerment. And so all of this to say that as a bride, if you're a bride, forget about being beautiful as you are. You are worthy as you are. You don't exist to be a pretty white doll to parade around and take pictures with that day. You're not an object, you're a person. Getting married to someone you're crazy about. and you do whatever you need to do to make that day fun and enjoyable for you. F everything else, seriously. Coming from someone who wishes that she had said F it to more things throughout this process. You don't need to change the way you eat or change the way you look or change the way you move your body. And none of this like, oh, you don't have to do it because it's a great time to start taking care of yourself. Like, you don't have to do it. Like, you don't have to change your body, but, you know, it's a good time to start taking care of yourself. So let's do it. No. Stop that. Sure. It's a great time to start taking care of yourself in the form of setting boundaries, in the form of delegating and not piling your plate too high, in the form of saying no and making decisions that are right for you and your partner. That's the kind of self-care that's really important right now. So if you're a dietitian bride, practice everything we talk about when it comes to being a dietitian. The same overarching forces, patriarchy, capitalism, white supremacy, diet culture, all those things that we have to navigate as dietitians to feel confident and less burnt out are the same forces at play in wedding planning, but like on steroids. Now, maybe you're not a bride. Maybe you're in the bridal party. I have a few dietitian clients who are in this place, and the same things apply from above. The trick is that you're at the mercy of the bride. So like, you maybe can't 100% say no to everything. You don't choose your dress usually. You don't always choose your hair and makeup. So do what you can while supporting the couple getting married, but don't forget about your own boundaries in the process. Being in the bridal party can be expensive and stressful. Again, hi, patriarchy and capitalism. And we get caught up in these have-tos, these like, well, this is just how it is. So we go along with it. And suddenly we've dropped a grand on this wedding between the dress and the makeup and the bachelorette. And if you're like some of my friends, you have a bajillion weddings this year. And it adds up. I'm not saying make the bride's life more difficult, but again, this oppressive industry that has us convinced that we have to spend crazy amounts of money on like one day or one event is absurd. And if you're in a tight spot, especially with the pandemic this past year, you have a right to be open and honest about it. The other thing I'll say that you can do as a member of the bridal party is to try to nip diet talk in the butt. Do what you can to support the bride and other members of the party. Like, reassure them that they're inherently worthy regardless of all this consumerist superficial BS that we get caught up in. See if you can infuse some anti-diet messaging into conversations. Disrupt the things that we say and do out of habit that are from years of being brainwashed by these industries and systems. Encourage the bride to buy a dress that she feels good in a size that she feels comfortable in. When someone makes a disparaging remark about their appearance, instead of saying like, oh no, you're beautiful, which only reinforces this notion that beauty is an important trait to possess and strive for, say something about how happy they look, or how inherently worthy they are, or about something else awesome about them that isn't appearance-based. Will you single-handedly dismantle diet culture? No. But imagine if we all acted as disruptors in these situations. Now, as a guest, you're likely to be less impacted by the bride and the whole wedding process, but you may still feel pressured to, like, quote-unquote, get in shape, or maybe squeeze into a dress you bought, I don't know, in your early 20s for weddings, and you've only worn it, like, twice. You don't want to have to go out and buy another, but, you know, now you're 30 and it feels extra snug. Remember, clothes are made to fit us, not the other way around. And if you need to find clothes that fit your here and now body without spending an arm and leg, I highly recommend ThredUp. I don't own that many fancy dresses, and I needed a bunch this year. I had two back-to-back weddings the same weekend in July, so I needed two different dresses for that, just in case I, you know, spilled or it got a little gross, you know. Plus, I had my own bridal shower, my own rehearsal dinner. So I ordered like six dresses from ThredUp. It's a thrift company online, basically, for anyone who's unfamiliar with it. I made sure that they were all either brand new with tags or like new. I wound up keeping three, and I think I spent like $15 on each one on average for almost new dresses, like no signs of wear and tear. They're great. I also have a friend who's been doing Rent the Runway, and she raves about that too. She said they send you two different sizes the day before, and she said that they've also been really good if there's an emergency and like you need a last minute switch up, they'll overnight a third size so you can get it in time. So there are always options out there. Again, focus more on how you feel and feeling like yourself rather than playing into this garbage about never being enough or feeling good enough. And lastly, as a guest, do your part in disrupting diet culture too. Be aware of the cards that you choose, the gifts that you buy, the compliments you dole out. One thing I'm appreciative of is how many family members tell me how happy I look and how excited they are for me. Those are the compliments we want to aim for. So really focus your energy on supporting the couple getting married without getting wrapped up in diet culture or beauty culture. Now, our next category you may find yourself is a vendor. I won't spend a ton of time here since I don't know that many dietitians who get involved in weddings in this capacity, but it's going to be the same type of messaging as above. Audit your materials, your website, your services, and your language for diet talk and things that uphold these industries. Focus on how the bride is doing and coping. Focus on what you can do to make her life easier and refrain from comments about bodies, hers or otherwise. This can become a particularly relevant if we're food vendors of any kind. Do we describe things as sinful? Do we say things like, oh, it's your wedding, calories don't count? Do we talk about splurging or cheating? Are ingredients referred to as clean? Try to talk about food in neutral terms and do what you can to encourage the couple to choose foods they enjoy and can savor, free of judgments or labels. And lastly, let's talk about what we can do as practitioners. I know this is the one most of us will be able to relate to. And I'm not going to spend all that long here, but I can certainly make a distinct episode for it if it's popular and a lot of you have additional follow-up questions. First and foremost, if you have a bride or anyone who's being impacted by a wedding and it's triggering body image concerns or stress around food, hold space for them. If it's appropriate, help them recognize the BS industry that was built around making them feel stressed and insecure and inherently not enough. Go through the same tips I've given in this episode. Help them make peace with their bodies and find clothes they feel good in. Work with them on self-care more holistically than like eat more veggies and get enough sleep. Like I was recently talking to one of the coaches in my coaching program about how I was really diligently working on avoiding burnout because I was feeling pretty stressed and overwhelmed with wedding planning and business building and all this stuff. And he said, go back to your three pillars of self-care, food, movement, and sleep. And I was like, those aren't my three pillars of self-care. Sleep is. But when I'm talking about self-care, like I'm talking about boundaries. I'm talking about like slowing down and not pressuring myself to do much. I'm talking about like downtime. So again, embrace that self-care more holistically than just like those three diet culture-y pillars that it's not that they're not important, but they're not the most important self-care activities for most people, except sleep. Sleep is important. And if that means by working on like this self-care stuff that they would benefit from more therapy-based work on boundary setting, for example, beyond what you can offer as a dietitian, encourage that. The same way that if you were in a bridal party, you can be the disruptor, you can be the role model. You can be the one to try to change this narrative of what planning a wedding is supposed to be like or what attending a wedding is supposed to look like. And you can do that with your clients too. Folks, wedding planning is absurdly stressful. Being in a wedding can be stressful. Even being a guest can be stressful. And so much of that stress is because we have bought into a system that wants us to feel that way, that profits off of us putting weddings up on this pedestal as being like the ultimate accomplishment. It is one day. And no matter what everyone tries to tell you, it is not about being able to look back on that one day and thinking you looked awesome or everything was magical. It's about creating a day that is meaningful to you, that represents you, that you can look back on and recognize yourself and your partnership in the details. And that ultimately, honestly, like what I've been told, you're going to barely remember when it's all said and done anyway. it goes by in the blink of an eye, because it is just that. It is the blink of an eye. One day out of thousands that you will spend with this person, hopefully, is a tiny blip in the radar of your life and truly, honestly, genuinely does not matter that much. I'm reminding myself this as much as I am to you. Now, take care of yourselves this wedding season, folks. From what I hear from a lot of people, it's August, but many of us still have a lot more to come before the end of the year. So take care. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you're looking for more content like this to help you overcome burnout, imposter feelings, and limiting beliefs that are holding you back from feeling confident and passionate about your work, sign up for my email list at www.empoweringdietitians.com/newsletter, and let's stay connected. That's www.empoweringdietitians.com/newsletter. And one last thing. If you found this episode valuable, it would mean the world to me if you could share it with your dietitian friends and leave a positive review. Those two things help this podcast reach more dietitians who need to hear these messages. And together, we can really start to change the landscape of our profession for the better.